We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take a moment for personal confession of our sins. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening song, pray. Lord God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. It's time.
You are familiar with the story of Epiphany of our Lord, but do you really know the story? Listen carefully to the details. Try to sort out what Scripture says as opposed to the legend. Our reading today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means among the rulers of Judea, of Judah, for from you shall be a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained them from them what time the star had appeared. And he had sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me words so that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Most all of you are familiar with the Epiphany song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." We'll be singing that as our hymn of the day after the sermon. And you're familiar with the biblical story in today's gospel. Sometimes our traditions about Christmas blur the distinction between fact and fiction, or scripture and legend, so much so that we never question the discrepancies. Or we listen to the first few lines of a gospel and then tune it out, thinking to ourselves, yeah, I already know that story. But do we really know the story, the biblical story, as Matthew tells it? Or do we mostly know the legends that have sprung up around the story? They are not one and the same. When push comes to shove, it's the Bible that counts. We three kings of Orient are, the song begins. First of all, how many men are there? Say what? What do you say? We don't know. That's the right answer. Yes. A lot of people would say three because that's what the song says. And they might be right, but they could just as easily be wrong. The Bible doesn't give a number. It could be four or seven or a dozen. It only says there were three kinds of gifts that they brought for the child. We cannot assume that each gift was brought by just one person. The song calls them kings. Does the Bible say they're kings? No. It doesn't even hint that they were rulers or that they had any political power. It calls them magi, or wise men. Now, magi were a number of things, but they were not kings. In fact, it's interesting to examine exactly what the magi were. In our text, they're called wise men, but that is being far too kind about those visitors. Originally in Persia, the Magi were dream interpreters. By Jesus' time, the term referred to astrologers, fortune tellers, stargazers. In fact, our words magic and magician come from this word magi. Now, to be fair, astrology in ancient times was considered a science. It sought truth about life and the world through the visible universe. However, this science was not seen as legitimate by Jewish standards. Wise men or astrologers were considered horoscope fanatics. Think in terms of psychic hotline or other people today who would foretell the future by tea leaves, tarot cards, or Ouija games. To the Jews, the Magi represented the epitome of Gentile idolatry and religious hocus pocus. What are the names of the wise men? Does the Bible tell us? No. Legend lists them as Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar, representing three regions of the known world: Persia, India, and Ethiopia. But the Bible gives no names. The names are a later embellishment. When we listen to the story of the Epiphany, our first question should be, what's wrong with this picture? And the answer, of course, is that the Magi should not be there. They don't worship the right God. They are the wrong race, the wrong people. They are better models of unbelief and false trust than models of faith, trust, and true worship. In spite of all this, the song We Three Kings is still fun to sing. But the song is poetry, and therefore we expect the writer to take some poetic license rather than sticking strictly to the facts. Once in a while, however, you need to go back to the original source. And when you do, you discover that the legend has added some to the story. In many portrayals of the Magi, we see them with camels, right? In the Bible, no camels. For all we know, the Magi may have been on foot. You may be wondering why the Magi went to Herod first and not to Jesus. It's likely that when they saw the star and followed it from the east, they interpreted it to mean that a new king had been born. Then they assumed that if a new king had been born, he must come from the royal family, that he would be born in the capital city. But they assumed wrong. The star got their attention from its first rising in the east. It gave them some information, but it led them to false assumptions. What corrected those false assumptions was the guidance of religious leaders and the scriptures. That's how they knew to go to Bethlehem. Then the Bible says they arrived at the house where Jesus was, not the stable. Modern-day creches that show both wise men and shepherds at the stable are taking a lot of liberty with the text. The Bible doesn't really give us a timeline of these events, but Jesus was likely a toddler by the time they got there. That would explain why Herod ordered the slaughter of all the innocent nursing children that Jesus represented in his effort to eliminate the threat to his power. So what's the point? The point is that the story of the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus is told to establish a global context for the coming of Christ. The Magi were not Christians. They weren't even Jews. They were complete outsiders. But somehow, they were drawn by the star to visit the Christ child and kneel in awe before him. They didn't stay and become disciples or join the church or even write Holy Scripture. They came, they saw, and they went home. That's it. And yet, that isn't all. These Magi represented the whole Gentile world, and that means the coming of Christ into the world is just that. He came into the world, not just into a small, closed religious community. The activity of God happened in the midst of other secular activity: science, shepherding, poverty, a government census, Palestinian politics, and Near Eastern culture. Jesus was not born under a Christmas tree in a pious parish church chancel. He was born in a stable and laid in a livestock feeding trough where everybody, from ignorant shepherds to learned scholars, took note and marveled. Jesus was born into the world. And yet Jesus was not born as an instant savior who would give a quick fix to a troubled world. The salvation he embodied was a slow salvation, accomplished in God's own time. It was a salvation full of promise from the beginning, but a salvation with the final fulfillment of that promise waiting until the very end. His was a salvation that would require the slow unfolding of faith and hope in all who would believe. His was also a painful and costly salvation. The gifts brought by the Magi symbolize that. The gold they brought was a gift for a king. Was Jesus a king? No, not a king of this world, but his destiny was to be revealed as king of the universe. His kingdom was not of this world, and yet his kingship ultimately will encompass the entirety of this world and all worlds. The second gift was frankincense. Frankincense was simply incense that is used in offered at worship. It was expensive, and it carried with it the meaning of divinity. Regardless of which gods and goddesses the Magi worshiped at home, the fact that they brought this gift of incense to Jesus meant that they considered him divine. What kind of God he was, they didn't know. What function he would perform, what he would do, what he would accomplish, all of these were open questions. But that he was divine was evident in the gift of frankincense they brought him. The third gift was myrrh. Myrrh is a spice with a strong aroma that is usually associated with the burial of the dead. And so this gift carried with it the symbolism of Jesus' death and burial. If the Magi had only brought gifts of gold and frankincense, then we could easily say that Jesus is King and God. But they also brought myrrh. And in that gift, we come face to face with the stark reality of what divine kinship would eventually mean for the Christ child. Our God and King is also the one who suffered and died. He didn't arrive one day saying, "Hi, I'm your new king." He grew through 33 painful years of life, and then his profound faithfulness to his Father in heaven shines through, even in his last hours on the cross, where he demonstrates the Father's profound love for us. And what is our response to that love? Do we walk by the light of Christ or by the light of other stars of our time, the celebrities and superheroes that so many look to for inspiration? Do we walk by faithfulness to the promises we have made to God and spouse and friends? Or do we walk by self-centeredness and self-interest? Do we walk by the light of Christ's peace, or do we walk by the angry glare of vengeance and one-upmanship, carrying road rage to whole new levels? Do we walk in bold and open testimony to the grace and goodness of God, or do we walk in the shadow of cynicism and despair, as if there were no light at all? On Tuesday, the Epiphany of our Lord, we complete the 12 days of Christmas. We have seen the Word of God made flesh in the babe of Bethlehem. We have adored the infant Jesus born of Mary. Now we arise and go on our way into the world, never forgetting the salvation we have seen, but knowing that what we have seen must be told to others and demonstrated in deeds of mercy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Our hymn of the day is We Three Kings. Pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the light of Christ to shine upon the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Heavenly Father, thank you for the light of the world, your Son, Jesus. Thank you for revealing your mercy and loving kindness to all people. Thank you that he reveals you as the God of every kindred, nation, and tribe until the world ends and Christ is all in all. Lord, in your mercy, Make your church a faithful steward of the mysteries of Christ. Fill your pastors with wisdom, holiness, and faithfulness. May the church's worship, fellowship, and acts of charity be as sweet-smelling incense in your nostrils. Lord, in your mercy. Let this congregation be a place where sinners, strangers, and Gentiles encounter the living Christ. Shape us into disciples who eagerly seek, study, and worship Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Protect and bless your church wherever it suffers from malice, persecution, and scorn. Give to even its enemies a teachable heart and questioning mind, so your goodness, holiness, justice, and mercy may touch and transform them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray on behalf of scholars, teachers, scientists, philosophers, and especially seminary professors and students. Increase their numbers and their zeal for seeking your truth. Give them grace to adore you, the source of truth and wisdom. And give them generous hearts to freely share their wisdom, knowledge, curiosity, and faith. Lord, in your mercy. Pour your Spirit upon the leaders of this and every nation, that they may faithfully bring forth and establish justice throughout the world. Give them the wisdom and the will to rightly protect and provide for their people. And grant peace and blessing to all in this new year. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, we lift before you everyone charged with protecting life and liberty. Grant them such integrity and courage that those whose lives are most in danger may call on them in confidence. Bring them safely home to their loved ones and heal those who are wounded in body, mind, or soul. Lord, in your mercy. Bring the light of Christ to everyone who dwells in the shadows of suffering, sin, or sorrow, especially those that we lift in our hearts before you now. We also lift before you Florence Eckert and Emma Hirschfield, who are both on hospice. Give competence, compassion, and patience to everyone charged with their care, and grant health and hope according to your merciful wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for the lives of all your faithful servants who, through word and example, have been stewards of your gospel. Give them wisdom and devotion so that we seek your will throughout our earthly life, and give us the strength and means to do it. In your good time, lead us to the eternal home that you have prepared for all who are redeemed by your beloved Son, and especially Marilyn Wood. For there we will adore your glorious wisdom and delight in your merciful love, in the power of your Holy Spirit forever. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing song, Joy to the World. Worship, yes. The worship is now ended. We leave to live out God's call. May we go to be and make disciples. And remember, He is with you always.